investigation request with Citizens Police Review Board. Now, that's, I don't know if it's going to die with the board, but I'm certainly going to follow up on it. I think there's real questions to be asked when a police can threaten to pull their gun in downtown. They can take your car away for alleged parking tickets, and there's no police report issued, and there's nobody to answer for it. So get involved. Pick one of these things that interests you and start asking some hard questions. I hope to bring to the grand jury, and certainly I will bring to court, the fact that the city parking control is in violation of about 7 different state statutes regarding parking citation processing and tickets, and that there's a huge illegal operation of seizing vehicles going on. In fact, just to give you an example, you look in the phone book, Pick and Pull Towing has got an ad. I think they get, say, 2,000 fresh new cars every month. They don't even have a phone number they can be reached down at their Moss Landing facility. The moment I started asking questions about my trailer, I got hustled out of there so fast it made my head spin. So if you think everything's all right in town, you're not looking close enough. You just haven't been affected. Talk to people. Ask some questions. Ask some hard questions about what goes on. There are many, many things about this parking control and citation process that I will bring forward later on that it will just astound you how arrogantly the city is just blatantly ignoring
and
state.
And Free Radio Santa Cruz will be there to give another, perhaps briefer report on the subject. Thanks for being with us, Yon, on this issue, and thanks for, you know, for clarifying some of these issues. You actually went into great detail on some of the traffic law sections last time you were here. For those who are interested in more contact with Yon, you can give a call to 423-HUFF, and I will put you in touch with him. And just thanks for being in the studio. You know?
Well, thank you, Robert, and thank you for the opportunity to express myself, and that's what America's all about. You know, we may disagree on a lot of things, but we still can sit here and speak and let the public know and talk about it, and supposedly we still have some constitutional rights. We better protect them.
Yeah, Free Radio Santa Cruz needs your help, too. You got equipment you want to donate or money you want to give, or you're interested yourself in being a part of the collective because you've got stuff you think should go out over the air, 427-4523. That's the voicemail, 427-4523. And, of course, you can call in here for conversation, chat, therapy, and information, 427-3772 on my show, though I may give you short shrift unless you're talking about subjects that have some relation to civil rights on the streets. Thanks a lot, Yon, for being with us.
A little ad here. This radio station is about freedom. It's about this radio station expresses the freedom of America. It may be messy. You may not like it sometimes, but this is what freedom's all about. And the opportunity to speak out and the opportunity to be heard is a fundamental, irreplaceable element of our American way of life. So support it in any way you can, even if it's calling up and saying you don't like what's being heard. But let the station know and let the community know that you care one way or the other. Vote.
Thanks, Yon.
Well, Uncle Ray, a.k.a. Mr. Hairdresser Guy. So what's happening?
Well, I got another ticket the other day. This time they accused me of going the wrong way on my bicycle down here on Pacific.
Oh, you criminal dog.
Yeah, I was just turning a corner coming up on the sidewalk, and I got stopped by, what's that round rotund lady with the scar across her face?
I'm not sure, but Officer Brandt has arrived and is harassing people for sitting down. I better go check this out.
Right on.
So, Officer Brandt is here, causing interesting problems. Officer Brandt? So, Officer Brandt is all the people who were sitting down, thanks to the arrival of our noted Officer Brandt, are now standing up, standing at attention, because homeless people, you see, are not allowed to sit down and eat, not within 14 feet of a building. And Officer Brandt makes sure of that. Thank you, Officer Brandt. I'm not going to tell Officer Brandt, but certain individuals are sitting down again in a very questionable way. I don't know why that is, actually. It's very questionable. We're talking with
Desmond Watson.
And Desmond, you were woken up at?
About 10:30.
In the morning?
Yeah, in the morning, over there by the tracks, by the skate park. And you know, then went further from there by him questioning my name and so forth, and then come to find out that I had warrants, an oath container here on the mall warrant, and skating at 8:30, I think it was 8:30 in the morning down the mall, skateboarding, and another, I think, a camping ticket somewhere or another in Harvey West.
Well, you're just a big-time criminal.
Oh, yeah, right.
The mobster.
He gave me
look
another
at
ticket for my warrant, so now I got, I don't know what's that about. I just got to go to court, I guess.
Well, it means you're just taking to jail at that point, but you get to go to ticket court on all of them at once.
Yeah, I guess that's it. But
you save the city money that way.
Is it? I don't know if it's another fine on top of that, or...
Well, failure to appear. It may be a failure. If you haven't appeared on the warrant, you get a failure to appear charge, probably.
Well, I still won't appear, you know, on the...
Sometimes it's better to disappear.
That's true.
So what's the most recent ticket you got?
Recent ticket I got was, that was it, the Rude Awakening.
Any hassles for camping, sleeping? Are you sleeping out?
Just two times, Harvey West, I got woken up. It was, it's about, 8:30 in the morning or so.
Ticketed or just woken up?
Taking it one time, and another time they just woke me up.
Did they give you a place to go?
No, definitely
not. Did they say there had been a complaint?
No, they don't know.
Did they give you a warning?
No, the first time they gave me a warning and took my picture.
And took your picture? Well, they must think you're good looking.
Oh, they must, put it on the wall. Save it.
We've been talking with
Desmond Watson.
Okay. You're a man of African-American heritage.
Yeah, I guess I'm a mixture of all, so... I just say I'm American.
Is Santa Cruz any more racist than the next city or not?
There's a lot of racial tension here, definitely. Yeah.
And how has this manifested itself with you?
Just the skinheads on the mall and so forth, and I don't know, it's so much.
How about with the police?
The police, not so much, just dirty looks. Basically, just dirty looks, more of a vibe thing.
You're talking police or non-police?
Police.
As well?
Yeah. You look at you like you're suspicious, That's about it.
Well, that hat, he's got this leather hat, gentlemen. I think it's a very questionable hat.
I'm done.
Thank you. Well, sir, you're one of those open container guys.
A most recent thing happened to me was that they arrested me for a charge that I didn't do, and then they kind of backed me in the corner saying, well, we're going to use your history, we're going to convict you, blah, blah, blah.
Charge?
It's auto burglary. And he said, I broke a window to break into a Volkswagen van. Well, I know how to break into vehicles, but I don't break windows. So they saw me staggering around down the street on River Street. So they figured, there's one. Let's grab him, So they snagged me up. And eventually I just pled guilty to it. And they gave me a year in the county jail and 3 years formal probation. And I'm homeless, and I have no home. I mean, how am I supposed to do probation and try to survive in a county that doesn't even have... A shelter where you can spend the night for all.
What
home.
About the armory?
The armory is only open 2 months out of the year. Where do you go for the rest?
Four or five months, but yeah, it's open tonight. You didn't use it. Are you going to use it tonight or
no?
Because
I like to be able to move around and just get up and go somewhere if I need to. And if you're at the armory, you can't even smoke after 10 o'clock. Well, I smoke. The county is doing all kinds of stupid stuff. They say no camping anywhere in the county of Santa Cruz. They're trying to run the homeless out. The tourists come here to see the homeless.
Any comments on the war in Iraq?
No. Wait a second, excuse me. I had everybody and their brother talking to me. I'm trying to go through the line and get something to eat.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Hassles with police, problems, arrests, tickets, comments?
Got a ticket the other day for spitting on a police car. But I gave him a fake ID, so I'm straight.
What is your real name? No, just kidding.
I can't really tell you. Sorry.
Which police car? Where?
I don't know what.
You're in Santa Cruz?
But it was in Santa Cruz, right down across from the theater.
What did the police officer say to you when he ticketed you? Or she ticketed you?
She gave me a ticket and made me wipe the spit off, and she was real hasty, searched me, and a lot of harassment.
Why? Do you have acidic spit? I mean, are you a sort of a monster that damages property? But what was the ticket for, actually? Do you have a copy of the ticket with you?
No, I don't have it because I threw it away. I figured it was about worthless because I don't ever feel like
I'm... Mind if I play this on the radio?
Oh, no, go right ahead and all the power.
Okay. Well, thank you. What's your first name?
I can't do it.
Okay. Okay, we're talking with...
Jasmine.
Jasmine, you've handed me a sheaf of yellow pieces of paper, which they could be... monetary certificates, but no, they're tickets from the Santa Cruz Police Department. Four, five, six, seven. There are eight tickets here. When you say most of these are for?
Sitting in front of the coffee shop, Santa Cruz, drinking coffee on top of my blanket, or camping, sleeping somewhere. Other than that.
Camping, just sleeping.
Yeah.
And your name is?
Miguel De Leon.
Miguel.
And I got a stack just as big.
So wait a minute, now who's got more? She's probably got more.
Mm-hmm.
Whose is bigger? Whose stack is bigger?
They're about the same.
Mine's for warrants.
Okay.
Yeah, they're about the same since we stick together.
Okay, these tickets you have, we got a couple, one for camping.
They're either for sleeping or sitting on the sidewalk, one of the two.
Or display of merchandise. Now, what was that about?
Sitting on that blanket that I have with the huge California flag on it.
I remember you were in front of the coffee roasting company.
That's where all the stuff for most of those tickets are from.
So, is there any particular officer who likes to give you tickets?
Besides Seeley?
Well, I don't know. Has Seeley been giving you most of these tickets?
Or initiating them to have another officer do it. You know, standing there with his arms crossed going, you write this ticket.
So Seeley has been downtown giving...
Three legal knives and my tomahawk.
So your weapons have been confiscated?
They're tools.
Your peanut butter knives have been confiscated?
Well, yeah, they're totally tools. But yeah, they confiscated them. He confiscated them because...
He wanted them.
Well, he wanted them, and two, like we've been over this whole Proposition 215 thing, like when I first got here.
Medical marijuana.
Yeah, he rolled up on me smoking a bowl. And he got really, really pissed when he had to give back my pot and my peas. And, I mean, when he rolled up the last time, the last ticket he wrote us up, I was smoking a bowl. You know, and there's two glass pieces sitting out, and, you know, there's buds in between the glass pieces, and decided, since he couldn't dick with us over that.
Eric Seeley?
Yeah. He gave us for having two sleeping bags on the ground, he gave us established campsite tickets and told us we could go to jail with felonies for the three unsharpened knives that he had and my tomahawk.
And where was this?
He spent about 15 minutes in his car looking through the books to try to find something to get those knives, too.
When was this?
Let me see the stack of tickets.
Here's the stack.
February. The 2nd of February. The 3rd of February. The 13th of February, right? So there's three in a row.
Well, you're a popular person, I can see.
According to the police department, a citizen filed a complaint against me for sitting in front of Santa Cruz Roasting Company, supposedly panhandling in a group. And they came up and they cited me. And neither one of these two, who was sitting right next to me.
Who are the real evil geniuses in this group? I can see that right there.
You're right. We were all making...
I mean, he has a black hat.
Yeah,
Look at that.
We were all making so much money, let me tell you. Making so much money, I had to trade the people in the coffee shop something that I wrapped with wire for coffee, you know what I mean? He wrote me up for established campsites for having our two sleeping bags that are zipped together on the ground. And that was the 13th. It was the 13th of this month, and it was at 201 River Street, the law office, two buildings down from the empty spot. You know where the empty spot is?
Not sure.
The empty spot on Pacific, after the clock tower? The only huge empty, where there should be a huge building.
Oh, where the great place used to be?
No. Yeah. Two doors down from that.
So, that sounds more like Seeley Speed. He's not usually on the mall here.
No, he's usually on the lot.
All night.
Or, you know, floating around in between.
Any cases of police violence that you've heard about lately?
No, just police bullshit.
Okay. Well, that's sure. That's good. Are any other people getting camping tickets you know about?
Well, how about, here's this for an interesting one for you. Like, this kid came into town with us.
His name is?
Jason. This kid came into town with us. This kid was, you know...
The guy in the black hat.
Around us most of the time, and, you know, sleeping within the same vicinity that we've been sleeping in. And how many tickets have you gotten?
One.
For sleeping?
Yeah. Yeah, one, just for sleeping.
So that's 1 to 8. You got to work harder to catch up.
Well, you don't know me yet. He's got to get to know you before he really wants to.
Not me either. But they're just tired of seeing Mikey Fee without seeing it in court, I guess.
Any comments for Free Radio?
What kind of free country do we live in where you can't sleep outside?
$160 to sleep outside, actually.
It costs more to sleep by a dumpster than it does to get a motel room. Like, I wouldn't have a motel room if I can afford it to begin with.
$54, but it's still an expensive ticket.
Because they never write us up for sleeping. They write us up for established campsite, unlawful lodging, trespassing. They never put the technicality down.
That's a good point. I think...
Read the difference.
Yeah, A and B, you're right. A and B are for sleeping and for blanket, and they're $54. The other is $162 established campsite.
It's all how they work.
Got a serial blast over here for the whole time I've been here, and the cop walked by and never even fucking noticed it. Because it's in the backlight, they can't see it.
And that interview happened a week ago Sunday at the weekly meal. The Potter's Hand does a meal, two meals actually. If you're hungry, you can hustle over to Loudon Nelson Center now. It started at 11, and I think it's pancakes and bacon and eggs, really a nice meal, Loudon Nelson Center. And then later on today, between, well, 2 or 3, down in the mall right in front, near to the Cooper House, right sort of across from Church and Pacific, I guess it is, you can get a really tasty hot soup and bread and pastries, very good food, vegetarian and meat-laden as well. So you might check that out. She's quite right, and it was interesting to look at her tickets. The woman who we were just interviewing there, we're finding that police are using Section C, which gives you a nastier ticket. It is harder to prove in court, though. You have to prove intention to remain overnight. For the Section C of the camping ban, but it is $162 instead of $54. Seems a particularly vindictive approach by officers dealing with bedding and sleeping equipment to give that kind of a ticket. Eric Seeley, of course, has gotten a bad reputation as the homeless resource officer in the eyes of some, and it sounds like he's not liked by these two individuals, and that doesn't sound like very good behavior on his part. I should say that yesterday I was informed by the woman you hear speaking or heard speaking on this interview that the man with her was arrested on a marijuana charge, taken to jail. She was in tears, didn't know what to do. And it seemed to be, in her mind, I believe, a continuing course of harassment against the two of them for just being in town. And her point, which you may have heard her make today, was, I think maybe she's about to make it, I think we interrupted the interview, is that it's senseless to try to harass and drive poor people out of town by giving them tickets because they have to come back and deal with the tickets. It's a sort of a strange, ironic deal, but the police apparently don't even care about that. It's just a knee-jerk, punitive response. Maybe there's a quota system there, as I've heard some officers have told me. Maybe there isn't, or maybe it's simply an attempt to show the merchants they're tough on homeless, poor, and small drug dealers downtown, but in any case, it's counterproductive, it costs more money than it brings in, and it's abusive, and it's something that we have to fight. And how can we fight it? Well, I've often talked about a 24-hour vigil against the war and against the war on the poor, both the war in Iraq and the war on the poor, and it looks like that is getting closer and closer to becoming a reality. In fact, there's a good chance that may start tomorrow downtown at noon, although we're still kind of ironing out the final details. We're going to be looking into it because we have a lot of people who volunteered to do small stints of time, and some students are involved in this who are active around it, but we are still, you know, hammering out the final details. The idea being it would be to have a 24-hour vigil where someone would be downtown, let's say, at the Merry Monday spot in front of Cooper and Pacific, or possibly down at the Bookshop Santa Cruz, with candles all night, possibly with a table and literature, possibly with various displays, possibly with blankets covering up, violating the city's blanket ban. You can't have a blanket to cover up with after 11 o'clock at night under Section 6.36.010B of the Santa Cruz Camping Ordinance. Again, the purpose would be to oppose both the war in Iraq and the legalized war against poor people in Santa Cruz that has been getting worse and worse year after year here, and to link these two wars and to give people a chance to speak out and create a visible presence against both. And if you're interested in being a part of this effort, you can give a call to 423-HUFF, and indeed it's, I often have put out a plea for this and sort of haven't gotten much response, but recently with the increase in the likelihood of Bush's war in the Middle East, even without Turkey, who, by the way, is the second hero of the day, those three Turkish parliamentarians who refused to vote with their sellout government to allow Bush's mercenaries to march through Turkey into Iraq, and so stopped the Northern Front from happening, at least stopped the legal use of the Northern Front. I wanted to kind of take my hat off to them. But even in spite of that, doesn't mean Bush has stopped at all. I mean, he has escalated his demands, if anything. You may recall yesterday he spoke about not just demanding disarmament of so-called weapons of mass destruction from Saddam Hussein, Führer Hussein, should I say, but he has also demanded regime change, which is not in any of the UN resolutions, or else the U.S. is unilaterally going to move in and kill thousands of people. It's quite an extortion racket. It's quite a use of state terrorism. It's something we're going to have to fight, and I think that the way to fight it is with a continuing mobilization locally, which I think can be assisted by this vigil. There's also other events coming up as well. If you want to be a part of the vigil, by the way, we'll be downtown after my show. Check Pacific Avenue, either at Merry Monday's Cooper and Pacific Corner across from the Cinema 9, or check Bookshop Santa Cruz area. We kind of have to share that area with different groups, different musicians, different tablers, and we try to work that out through the voluntary street performers guidelines. There are laws now also that make it illegal to put up a table for more than an hour in any one place. Police have not yet enforced the so-called Riley Porter move-along law, or the Matthew Rotkins move-along law. She actually proposed it, but Riley and Porter voted for it. It actually came out of Porter's misconceived, completely botched notion that you take the voluntary street performers guidelines and you make them laws, and that somehow solves all your problems, which is what Porter, in essence, tried to do, and Matthews then came forward with this resolution at City Council in January, and it was passed unanimously by a City Council that ignored the recommendations of its Downtown Commission not to do that, because the recommendations the Downtown Commission had worked on for, dozens of hours, and I think that's accurate. Certainly, six different Downtown Commission meetings of 2 hours each, and probably time off between those times. They came up with their own recommendations, and we've discussed that. So anyway, we'll be down at this vigil, or at least doing some tabling today to see if we have enough people to not just put this together, but enough people at the center who want to take a larger responsibility, because being there at night makes you vulnerable to police harassment. You also have to deal with other problems. People who have no legal place to sleep will come, and they may sleep there. And they should. That's part of the right of people to sleep somewhere legally. And if the city provides no place for people to go and harasses them in the hidden places they are, makes them sleep in unsafe places, they may come to places that they think are safe. And that may be downtown. And some of us may have to take tickets for that. Some of us may have to go to jail for that. Some of us may have to face police harassment for that. That is part of the game. That's how it goes. Hopefully the city will learn that there is a broad community support for a restoration of constitutional rights, and not just for our rights vis-a-vis Führer Bush and a democratic process and open process at City Council, but for the rights of poor people on the streets to be able to meet basic human needs without being criminalized and driven away for doing so, as current city law allows and mandates. So come on down today. Should be setting up a table around 2 or 2:30 down there, maybe a little earlier. And check us out, or give a call to 423-HUFF. And as I said, the actual formal vigil, we're looking to see if we have enough person power to start it tomorrow at noon, and then just keep running and hope to pick up people as we go. We have people for the first few days covering all the spots, and we'll see how that goes. Again, we'll be issuing a definitive statement later today on that issue. It's Sunday, so how about this?
Jesus was a working man, a hero you shall hear, born in the slums of Bethlehem at the turning of the year. Yes, the turning of the year. When Jesus was a little lad, the streets rang with his name, for he argued with the alderman, and he put them all to shame. Yes, he put them to shame. His father, he apprenticed him a carpenter to be, to plane and drill and work with skill in the town of Galilee. Yes, the town of Galilee. He became a roving journeyman, and he wandered far and wide, and he saw how wealth and poverty live always side by side. Yes, always side by side. He said, come all you working men, you farmers and weavers too, if you will only organize, the world belongs to you. Yes, the world belongs to you. So the fishermen sent two delegates, and the farmers and weavers too, and they formed a working committee of 12 to see the struggle through. Yes, to see the struggle through. When the rich men heard what the carpenter had done to the Roman troops, they ran, saying, put this rebel Jesus down. He's a menace to God and man. Yes, a menace to God and man. The commander of the occupying troops, he laughed, and then he said, there's a cross to spare on Calvary Hill. By the weekend he'll be dead. Yes, by the weekend he'll be dead. Now Jesus walked among the poor, for the poor were his own kind, and they wouldn't let the cops get near enough to take him from behind. Yes, to take him from behind. So they hired a man of the traitor's trade, and a stool pigeon was he, and he sold his brother to the butcher's men for a fistful of silver money, a fistful of money. Jesus lay in the prison cell, and they beat him and offered him bribes to desert the cause of his own poor folk and work for the rich men's tribe. Yes, work for the rich men's tribe. The sweat stood out upon his brow, and the blood was in his eye, and they nailed his body to the Roman cross, and they laughed as they watched him die. Yes, they laughed as they watched him die. 2,000 years have passed and gone, and many a hero too, and the dream of this poor carpenter, at last it is coming true. Yes, at last it is coming true.
And we're on the line with John. Hi, John.
Hey, hi.
So, what's cooking?
Hey, I'd like to make some kind of report about, you know, like, what's going on in town.
Please.
And, like, I could start at Lyle Nelson Center. And Lyle Nelson Center is surrounded by Neighborhood Watch, which I think they're Nazis, because if you look at a place, they call the police on you right away. The police comes out, and Lyle Nelson Center also does the same thing. And meanwhile, they chase the people and the kids out of here. And that's one of the issues in Lyle Nelson Center. The second issue is
Before we go on to the second issue, John, have you yourself been harassed by police recently around the Lyle Nelson Center? Or?
Yeah. I've been, they mark my tires.
Well, isn't that sort of, isn't that a normal process for any vehicle, though?
Not for us lately in Lyle Nelson Center, no.
So what
they
is
they come
that?
And mark it, and, you know, like a disadvantage right now on Sundays. Like today, they're not here. Last Sunday, there was 4 police officers walking around the area, seeing what's going on, 4 of them.
Four police officers.
Four police officers, not one. And also the meter maid person, Mark and Tars.
Well, maybe that you're...
And looking at license plates, and also the people who watched the people are also around watching. So you have the police and a group of Neighborhood Watch, which the Neighborhood Watch are Nazis groups.
Now, what is Neighborhood Watch?
Oh, I think that anybody that doesn't look out of place, they call the police on them, take the license plates number down, and report it to their friends, police officer friends. And their police officer friends come over and just, you know, try to harass you.
Now, did the police speak to you or try to harass you personally?
No, they just stand by my back of my vehicle, just like what they do at New Leaf. New Leaf is another place, notorious. New Leaf is, you go to the parking lot in New Leaf, you get four or five cop cars behind you, looking at your registration, nothing. They don't come knocking on the door and all that. And they're wondering, what are you doing in the parking lot? And they just, you know, take reports.
Yeah, I know, I used to park in New Leaf, but I haven't parked there or used them since they supported the fencing off of the area in front of New Leaf, the Sushi Now, Cafe Campesino,
Right. Ridden
fence.
Right, and that's what it's just, you know, and New Leaf is part of it. This health food store is part of it. It's part of the Nazi takeover. What I'm saying is, like, people have rights. And if we go into war to fight Saddam, like where everybody wants to, you know, what freedom do we have here and they have over there that we, you know, they're saying Saddam's bad against what? What is the United States Army, armed forces, protecting us from these police where we can't sleep at night? You get harassed at night by police officers. So what's this war really about? Is it about a takeover, our rights?
What do you think of this proposed vigil that you've been listening to my show?
Well, you know, I think we can eat more than that. I think, you know, we should just take over some place from the city.
Mm-hmm.
City has a lot of parking, like, oh, here's another place I want to talk about. Harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Harassment. You know, there's a law, it's supposed to be, if you chalk the sidewalk, you get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the police officers are chalking, like, the meter maid person goes around by the homeless garden, woman's homeless garden area, goes around once in a while and chalks up cars, sprays paint on the tire and on the street.
Have you seen this?
It's still there. The marks are still there.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen meter maids doing this?
Yes.
When did you see this?
Last Sunday when my van got sprayed.
Yeah, and
they still sprayed. A whole bunch of cars got sprayed.
What part of your van was sprayed?
My van with the marked tires.
And what time did this happen?
I couldn't tell, about 9 o'clock.
And what did you, were you in the van or did you?
No, I was out of the van. We were someplace else.
So you came back and found it was sprayed.
Right. And also found that the street was sprayed.
Well,
not just my vehicle, other vehicles there.
Well,
so now we have this law where you can't put stuff on, you can't put a chalk on there, but yet you got these police departments spraying the hell out of it.
Well, how do you know it's the police?
Well, it is the police because it's all marked there, because the highway patrol and the police come walking by there, taking license plates, finding out who's owns these vehicles. That's what's really going on.
Right,
like
but you didn't actually see...
It's like
see
a Nazi takeover when you can't just park your car
right,
anywhere.
But you didn't actually see the police or the parking authorities spray your vehicle, right?
No.
Because, I mean, I've heard this actually from other people that the...
But if you go there, right, if you go there, right, if anybody could go there right now...
Are you sure it's not private vigilantes who are doing this? Because it sounds peculiar.
No, it's not.
I mean, why use paint? That sounds like, you know, it may even be that even if a government official does it, I think that's the basis for vandalism.
Well, that's what we said. We could sue them for vandalism on our car.
Right. I mean, there is a section of the code regarding so-called, the word chalking is not actually used in the code. But
this is spray paint then.
But chalking, this is about something else.
This is something else.
Yeah,
hang on. Spray paint in a
vehicle. What I'm saying, caller, is that it's legal for the parking maid to run around and chalk your
tire. Yeah, that's fine. But
yeah.
It's just the
but
same.
Spray painting sounds to me a little peculiar.
And the street.
Yeah.
The mark, you know, they mark the street and the tire.
They're kind of like dogs. They're just leaving, they're marking their territory.
Right, like spitting, you know, right, exactly. But then, that's just one of my
here
we are going to war. What are we going to war for?
Well, you're going to war for this fine police system we have.
To support the police? And also, I found out if everybody registers their vehicles, are supported, it goes, you know where this money goes to when you register the vehicles? To the police department.
So,
and the police department lobbied for keep their jobs and their positions just a while ago, so they could support, you know, so the state could support them, so they'll get them laid off. You got schools being laid off.
Right, right.
And yet the police department hasn't even been touched.
Do you have any you said you had some other, like, specific abuses to report?
Another abuse is that here I am, I got a lawsuit going on a toxic waste matter. Real quick, toxic waste matter. My kid dies in 97.
That was
now
course,
I get it.
Yeah.
Now I get a ticket this year, just recently, for gray water.
Now, hang on just a second. I want to remind the audience what happened. Your child died up in Northern California after drinking...
In Willits, the heart of Mendocino, in Willits, California.
After drinking polluted water from the stream. And
he drank two sips.
How is that lawsuit going?
We're still in the lawsuit. They try to throw us out of the lawsuit set that we filed too late. But in reality is, when you have it's like La Sava Beach. If anybody, like in La Sava Beach, the same water that killed my son. Same water, nothing different. But this instead, it's being pumped into people's houses.
So you say that you just recently got a ticket for gray water?
So I get a ticket for gray water.
Yeah, what does that
mean? My tank was leaking, gray water.
Uh-huh.
That means I can't enter the state parks. They abandoned me from the state parks.
Well, is your tank leaking gray water?
It was at that point. Yes, it looks like it.
So how do you get that fixed so you can once more?
Once more, I have to go to court and I have to fix the gray water. You know, buy a new tank. But
so
that's just one of the.
Why is that?
And another issue that
wait a minute,
New Brighton. Hang on, same issue. New Brighton is being closed up.
Mm-hmm.
In a area, imagine that, for remodeling.
Yeah, New Brighton State Beach is being closed for remodeling. Yeah,
right, and there's only one. Well, Henry Cow is the next park that opens up pretty soon.
And there's also the concern that a lot of these park spaces, I think the parks I've heard are full this summer.
But you see, that's a false, that's false.
Then it's all kind of being picked up with, you have to, you know, being reserved with plastic in advance.
Oh, that's kind of false, because you know why? If you go there sometimes, you know, when they say it's full, you go there, you see open spots.
Right.
And so and then they also choose who they want in and who they want.
I hear you. I don't recall where I actually got that information from, but I think the point is that there's going to be an even greater shortage of so-called legal camping places this summer for poor people. We also, of course, the fact that the state parks will allow you to camp for only one month per year in all the state parks as a total.
No, not all the state parks. City, and Santa Cruz County only.
Oh, you mean you can go to another county and camp?
Yeah, and camp all you want.
Really?
Really.
But in Santa Cruz County, you can only camp for a total of 1 month per year.
1 month per year.
In any of the state parks.
Any state park.
And you know this because you've camped in other parks?
Yes, I camped in a lot of state parks, lots of times.
Uh-huh.
Like all summer long. You come to Santa Cruz, a New Brighton State Park, you can't even get in. So then if you go in late at night, you see an open spot, you pay the Iron Man, they call it. You pay your fees and you go in.
So any other abuses you want to bring up?
That is abuse. It's not an abuse. It's like, you know what's really going on? It's like a takeover. I'm going to complain. What I want to do is get people with cameras and all that in town, this town, to record that there is people, people who decide to take the law in their own hands and decide who's guilty and who's not right away and call the police department on them. So my idea is to find out where these people live at and go harass them right into their house, outside their house. Go really take movies of them in front of their house, find out who they are and what they do.
Well, you don't want to harass people.
No, it's not harassment.
That's illegal. I think it's appropriate to monitor.
That's right. It's not
misconduct.
Harassment.
Yeah.
Right. Because I am being, what I call it, I'm being terrorized. I'm being terrorized by this group.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and not just me. There's a whole bunch of homeless people, the same. Well, hang on. Then we got the, you know where you
hang
park
on. I got to interrupt you, caller, because we're running out of time.
Okay, the west side people park there on the west side. You allowed to stay there 12 hours a night, 12 hours a day. When people get there at night, the parking meter maid goes there at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, tells everybody they can't be there.
Well, what you need to do is...
So that's more terrorized.
What you need to do is get yourself, if you don't already have one, a little tape recorder and record any of these encounters. And also, I would encourage you... You got a voicemail?
Oh, yeah. Oh, then I have a website, earthspeak.org. That's my website.
Earthspeak.org. Encourage people to go to your website and...
And that tells you about Chromium 6, and it talks about Aaron Brockovich, Masary, and what's going on
with
Chromium
6. I'm more interested, frankly,
in... But this is like, listen to this. The people are being harassed. Listen to this.
I can't listen to it all because we've
heard... Okay, no, it's easy.
We've heard some of it. Let me just say this, and I want to hear more. I'm just trying to...
So I'm trying to summarize it. The people are getting harassed on the streets by little penny ass stuff, but yet you have the industrial industry right now.
Right, my concern, caller, just a second. My concern here is to see...
Any tickets?
Hold it. My concern is to see that people get together who are being harassed, and maybe what you might want to do is get some folks together who are suffering the same kinds of abuse that you are, and, you know, organize. I mean, that...
Well,
I know,
it's the hardest thing in the world. We want to do is we should go to the city area that owns the city, by the city, and just camp. All the vehicles should go there and round up in that area and stay there.
Let me point out also, caller, that...
And force the city to give them tickets or whatever.
Caller,
yeah.
let me point out also that this vigil against the war on the poor and the war in Iraq, which may well be starting tomorrow at noon and continue, is an opportunity for people to park their vehicles downtown at night in solidarity and also to kind of, you know, join together. And I'm hoping...
Yeah, see, we have to stop supporting the fucking...
You understand what I'm saying?
That's what I have to say. Stop supporting the cops.
You understand what I'm saying?
Support the schools.
Excuse
okay,
me.
See
caller?
You later. Bye.
Caller. Hello? All right. Thank you for calling in. What I'm suggesting is, and I agree with the caller, is that... that what we do is that maybe people can come to this vigil who have had similar experiences as John has had and share them in a way which is not simply venting on a radio show briefly, but we're actually take some action where people can start doing things that might make a difference, though it's, of course, hard to find what those avenues are. But the more people that get together on these issues and share information, the better. And I think that a place to do that is at a vigil, because you're going to find people who are homeless, you're going to find people who are housed, people who are against the war, people who are against the war locally and the war on the poor. And I wish the caller would stay on the line long enough to understand this. I have about an hour left that I'm going to try to run through some tapes that I do want you to hear, and I've got some commentary I want to get out. But I do appreciate his call, and please call in again if you'd like. And this is the same caller that I just called up before, and anybody else who has more information of the type that we heard from John, which is bogus attacks on people for their vehicles or just general harassment. Please give a call to 427-3772 and let us hear about the situation. So, here's some more reports on that same subject.
Got a serial blast over here for the whole time of engine and the cop walk by, and everybody's supposed to notice it. Because it's in the backside, they can't.
So we also have another ticket for non-commercial use of the sidewalk?
I'm reading off some of the wording that they give me, like non-commercial use of the sidewalk. What the fuck is that? Panhandling after dark. Yep, that I did. I haven't sold a piece of jewelry since I've been in this town.
Actually, non-commercial use of the sidewalk would be anything that isn't commercial. What day did you get that ticket?
It doesn't say non-commercial display. It says non-commercial use of the sidewalk.
And what were you doing that he regarded as non-commercial use?
I was sitting... This ticket I got written sitting in front of the across the street from the metro, on the corner. I think I was spare changing, sitting by myself during the day, and I set my sign down on the ground for a second, pulled something out of my pocket, and she walked right around the corner and fucking wrote me a ticket.
Who was this?
The big blonde cop. The big
Officer Bynes?
Gray is her name. Yeah, Officer Gray.
Officer Gray, correct. Okay.
I don't know any of these cops by their names. I'm trying not to. Really, just keeps throwing his in my face, so.
So, do you find this is happening to a number of other people as well?
Yeah, in spurts. I think they're trying to, I think they're trying to select certain people, you know?
Well,
people that don't have charges, like real charges in this town, that aren't already tied to this town, you know? So I want to go the fuck home.
Where's home?
I want to go back to Oakland, where my daughter and some of the other stuff that I want to do is, and I can't do that with this shit here. If I get failure to appear on every one of these tickets, man, they'll have $20,000 over my head, and they'll ship me right back.
But you'll get free transportation back. Look at it that way.
I don't want to come back.
Definitely don't want to do the 6-7 months it's going to be in jail for sleeping.
Yeah, or sitting in the sidewalk.
Well, these are serious crimes, you realize.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, we have Officer Phelps and two female CSOs walking by, but it's about 3:05, sir. They didn't give out any tickets nor hassle anybody for sitting, unlike Officer Brandt, who did.
The one on the left and the one on the right are the cops that came by repeatedly while I was sitting in front of Santa Cruz to write me tickets or give me shit.
So they didn't target you. And you can actually check out that scene. That's you're listening to what happened a week ago at the Potter's Hand Feeding outside the... Church and Pacific, outside Artisans, across from the Rittenhouse Hole, as we call it, on Pacific Avenue. And that happens every Sunday around 3. Great food, and you get to see the police, some police officers harassing people who sit down, others ignoring them. Even though the sidewalk is not blocked, many of the stores are vacant or closed, and it's the kind of thing that you may remember hearing. It's like driving people out into the rain from under the eaves of closed businesses, which I had thought it ended a decade ago, or I had hoped it ended a decade ago, but we heard from musician CJ, who I ran into at the farmer's market on Wednesday, that is still going on. He and his girlfriend are getting... told by, I guess it was Officer Bynes is what he suggested, that it's illegal to stand under the eaves of a store in the rain. I can't believe that Chief Belcher is so mistraining his police officers to allow that kind of instruction to go out. And I don't know. Again, I believe it was Officer Bynes, he said. I could be wrong about that. It could have been Officer Gray or it could have been one of the CSOs. But it was a definite angry report from more than one person that during the rains, poor people were driven out from under the eaves of buildings into the rain for standing there, even though there is no such law that prohibits you from standing. I suppose theoretically obstructing the sidewalk, but the sidewalk is broad, and if you're standing off to the side, even if you're within 10 feet of a building, you can't sit within 10 feet of a building. We can't sit within 14 feet of a building now that the new laws are in effect. You can't peacefully hold up a sign asking for money. You can't have a little collection can on your table as a political tabler for the Green Party, or Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, or any other group under the new anti-soliciting law. But police aren't enforcing that. They are enforcing laws against poor people. That's what's going on in Santa Cruz. And that's what the vigil against the war, the vigil against two wars, as we call it, is going to be concerned about. Stopping the war on the poor, stopping the war in Iraq. And seeing the connection between all that.
Tay from California, let's take it away. Yeah.
That's Taped from California, Phil Oakes, from the album of the same name. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the last hour of the Sunday edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I'm the Bathrobe, and if you want to read more of what I write, and I write a lot about the subjects you hear on the air, you can go to the Huff website, www.huffsantacruz.org, www.huffsantacruz, H-U-F-F, Santa Cruz, all small letters, all one word, .org. You can go to the Santa Cruz Indie Media website, www.santacruz, small letters, .indymedia, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, .org. Lots of writing there about these issues around police abuse, political abuse at city council, bogus charges against poor people, and, of course, the fight to stop the war in Iraq and to get some local action to stop the war in Iraq as well. So check that out. And three cheers for Turkey. Turkey's ruling party has no plans in the foreseeable future to seek another parliament vote, according to the latest AP story. For the deployment of U.S. troops on Turkish soil for a war with Iraq, a party leader said today the announcement by Eyüp Fatsa, deputy head of the Justice and Development Party, came a day after the legislature dealt a serious blow to U.S. war planning by failing to approve a motion to deploy U.S. soldiers, weapons, and equipment. The proposal has been delayed to an open-ended time. There is no proposal for the foreseeable future, he told reporters after a party meeting to decide whether to resubmit the motion. Lawmakers on Saturday voted 264 to 250 in favor of stationing U.S. troops, but that was three votes shy of a constitutionally mandated simple majority. There were 19 abstentions. That technicality raised the question of a second vote. A stunned Washington said it was awaiting, quote, clarification from Turkey, a close U.S. ally, and the sole NATO member neighboring Iraq, and Parliament said it would take up the issue Tuesday. The Justice Party in Turkey said the Tuesday discussion would not happen, though party leader Recep Tayyip Erdogan said top party members and the cabinet, which usually meets Wednesdays, would evaluate the issue. He played down the divisions in his government over deployment. By our party not taking a group decision on this critical issue, we carried out democracy within the party, Erdogan said. Washington for weeks had pressured Turkey to allow the deployment aimed at giving the U.S. military a northern front against Iraq in the event of war. But by an overwhelming margin, Turks oppose a U.S.-led war on Iraq, including many lawmakers on the Islamic-rooted Justice Party who voted down the motion. The party holds 362 of the 550 seats in parliament. And that, by the way, that majority is 94% of Turkey. The Turkish citizens voted against that, and 50,000 protested against it. Voted against it, I should say. That was what the polls in Turkey are described by the AP as giving us the sentiment, and the Turkey against U.S., letting U.S. troops go through Turkey and essentially involving Turkey in a war with Iraq and reopening, of course, the whole Kurdish issue and its own repression of Kurds and the occupation by Turkish troops of northern Iraq and the area occupied by the Iraqi Kurds, which the Iraqi Kurds have said they will fight. They are arming themselves to fight that, so I think that may have been one of the reasons why three courageous Turks or three scared Turkish deputies, I'm not quite sure what it is, just said no to that. Although it's interesting that they can get a majority in the parliament of the people voting, though three votes shy of a true majority of all the parliament, in a country where 94% are against it. It shows you how, quote, democracy is working in Turkey. But what it does mean is when you get out on the streets and you protest, when you make your views known as loudly and as persistently as you can under these circumstances, it eventually has an impact. And here, apparently, it's a key impact. At least that's my sort of naive reading of this. Prime Minister Abdullah Gül was meeting Sunday with the head of Turkey's influential military, General Hilmi Özkök. Earlier Sunday, he said Parliament's failure to approve the deployment should not jeopardize ties with Washington and warned Iraq not to try to take advantage of the vote. Relations between Turkey and the United States are strategic. We will continue these relations with mutual friendship and mutual understanding. These relations shouldn't be bound to a motion, Gül said earlier Sunday. If Iraqi leaders understand this wrong and take advantage of it, they make it hard for peace to exist. No one should misunderstand this decision by Parliament, Gül added. I'm not quite sure what Gül is saying. Is he saying they're going to allow the U.S. to do it anyway? But the failed vote is likely to strain relations with the Bush administration. Ships carrying U.S. tanks have been waiting off Turkey's coast for deployment, and the U.S. military has hundreds of trucks. Of military equipment ready to unload at the southern Turkish port of Iskenderun. We had certainly hoped for a favorable decision, U.S. Ambassador Robert Pearson said after the vote. We will wait for further information and advice from the government of Turkey about how to proceed. Isn't that big of them? The White House withheld official comment, but officials said privately that the administration remains convinced it ultimately will get its way. The motion would have empowered the Turkish government to authorize the basing of up to 62,000 U.S. troops, 255 warplanes, and 65 helicopters. In exchange, Washington promised $15 billion in loans and grants to cushion the Turkish economy from the impact of war. That money may now be lost. Turkey also risks losing Washington's support, which was crucial in securing billions in loans from the International Monetary Fund that has rescued the country during an economic crisis in 2001. The United States has also pushed Turkey's candidacy in the European Union and is the main supplier of, yes, fans, arms. If Ankara does not agree to host U.S. forces, it also loses a say in the future of neighboring Iraq if there is a war. That is a critical issue for Turkey, which fears a war could lead Kurds in northern Iraq to declare an independent state and in turn inspire Turkey's own Kurdish minority. But the governing party's failure to approve the deployment was a reflection of the overwhelming opposition in Turkey to a war in neighboring Iraq. Tens of thousands of Turks held anti-war demonstrations while lawmakers discussed the motion. Many Turks fear retaliatory attacks from Baghdad. Parliament has said peace, the daily Yeni Safak headlined. And here's a story on the Human Shields. It's called The Human Shield Diary. Let's see here. Actually, a little bit more on the Turkey story. The Justice Party said the Tuesday discussion would not happen. This is a repeated section here. Let me slip ahead. And there is a very interesting article on the Human Shields in the Counterpunch website area, if you want to go there on the web, if you have that computer access to Counterpunch. There's also been some controversy recently around Representative Farr. At least I've been trying to stir up some controversy. I think actually he's been rather controversial himself in declining to really address the issues which members of the Santa Cruz community have brought up, both in delegations to his office and at the town hall meeting 2 weeks ago. And I've been kind of engaging in email discussions with some folks about that, where somehow they feel that one person, Bobby, who is a street performer and a guy who I have kind of interesting email conversations with, has brought up the point that Farr, who was turned away from the 5,000 to 7,000 person demonstrations speaking forum, not as a listener but as a speaker, was somehow being treated in a fascist or censorial manner. He was being censored. I mean, he was in the sense that he was, you know, that they arranged who were speaking. I was also not, you know, invited to speak. But of course, more than that, there's an interesting letter in yesterday's Sentinel which describes why the Iraqi Peace Coalition, I'm not quite sure if I have the right name, Santa Cruz Peace Coalition, decided to censor Farr. And the letter reads as follows. Your February 16th story, Protesters March, Phil Mission Plaza, inaccurately reports that Representative Sam Farr was a speaker at our February 15th peace rally. While Representative Farr attended the rally, he wasn't a speaker. The Santa Cruz Peace Coalition made a decision not to invite him due to his poor voting record. It was perceived that his record these past 10 years too generously supported the U.S. military and various campaigns to render death and destruction upon citizens of other countries. His vote in April 1999, authorizing the military to conduct air operations and missile strikes against Yugoslavia, Senate Conference Resolution 21, is a case in point. During this air campaign, a television station was targeted and destroyed, and the civilians within were killed, reflecting a gross disregard for the Geneva Convention on War. His consistent support of several billion U.S. tax dollars to wasteful military appropriations is an example of Sam's tenuous grasp of the value of peaceful diplomacy. In 2001, he received a grade of F in wasteful political or military spending from a statewide advocacy group. He has supported Plan Colombia, a war on indigenous people disguised as a war on drugs, and NAFTA, an economic tool for institutionalizing violence against the working class in Mexico and the United States. For these reasons and more, we decline to have Representative Farr speak. Sam's vote against the U.S. forces against Iraq, H.J. Res. 114, in October 2002, is certainly a vote in support of the global peace movement, which I and others embrace. An invitation to the podium of our next peace rally is up to him. No to ever larger military budgets. No to Colombia-supported terrorism. Move to rescind NAFTA, Plan Pueblo, Panama, and FTAA. We hope he'll join us in our efforts to forever silence the guns of empire and extend the hand of peace. Signed, Joe Williams and Paul Franklin. And that was in yesterday's Sentinel, I believe. And actually, a second letter, interesting letter on a similar subject. I was quoted, this is from Steve Argue, in the article Anti-War Crowd Asks Farr for Action, as saying, economic sanctions against Iraq have killed millions of Iraqi children. This quote is inaccurate. What I actually said was, sanctions against Iraq have killed well over a million children, a million people, most of them being children. The difference is important in terms of accuracy of facts. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright was asked about these sanctions in a 1996 interview by Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes, May 12, 1996. Leslie Stahl asked, "We have heard that over 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more than died in Hiroshima, and you know, is the price worth it?" To this question, Madeleine Albright replied, "I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it." Since that interview, the deaths have continued to increase. U.S. Representative Sam Farr, for his part, has done nothing to stop this death by sanctions. In my speech, I also criticized Sam Farr for many other positions he has taken, including voting for over $400 billion for the war budget while schools are being shut at home. In opposition to Farr's pro-war policies, I announced my candidacy for the U.S. Congress in opposition to Sam Farr, signed Steve Argue, Santa Cruz. And I've been doing some internet back and forth with Bobby, also known as Robert Nahas, who's, again, a street performer and an activist concerned about the downtown ordinances and the sleeping ban. His position on that, on those ordinances is probably similar to mine, although I think he has some differences. But he, as I said, felt that Farr was censored, and that was for a fascist move. Bobby, if you're listening, feel free to call in. And if anybody else has some thoughts on this, give a call, 427-3772 here on Free Radio. I kind of explained in a long letter to him that I felt that there's a difference between excluding an ordinary person from the microphone, not letting her or him talk, and not providing a platform for a powerful political figure whose actions have generally persuaded peace activists that he's on the other side, even though he did vote for against the Iraqi force resolution. His many of his other actions have shown enablement and support for the war against Iraq, which is really a war against the Iraqi people, even though, you know, it's being done purportedly for, well, it's being done for to regime change so that the U.S. can put its own military commander in charge of the country. The Iraqi people obviously don't support this. I mean, it's hard to, you know, to do a poll in Iraq, which is a dictatorship, but I don't think I'm sure the Iraqi people would like themselves to overthrow Saddam, at least many of them. But I don't think they want the U.S. to do it at the cost of massive loss of life, U.S. military occupation, and a huge escalation of conflict in the Middle East. And I guess I'm asserting this, and I don't have clear documentation to back this up. But it is my belief that that's the case. So we have a representative who is supporting essentially the military year after year, and this last year was no exception. He voted for the biggest military budget in history, and the same day he voted in favor of the stopping no use of force in Iraq. And so in essence he was saying, well, don't do it, but here's the tools to do it if you really want to, which is bullshit, you know. And his whole performance at the town hall meeting was to ignore the repeated calls for real actions, like calling for the impeachment of President Bush and Vice President Cheney, asking him to come out squarely with a resolution demanding that uranium-depleted weapons not be used in Iraq or any place else, already having caused thousands and thousands of casualties among our troops, sicknesses and medical problems. You know, forget about the cancers that the Iraqi children are suffering. What about the U.S. soldiers? Farr wouldn't come out on this in any clear way. He mealy-mouthed statements about the sanctions and bombing that we've just heard have resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of children. These are clear things. And, of course, the Riley City Council, which sort of turned it into a Farr forum instead of a community forum where we could come up with some real answers and make some real resolutions from the community, sort of backed Farr, and have backed Farr all the way, and they can't hear a word of criticism about him or take any kind of real independent action. A week later, as we know, last Tuesday, City Council simply passed on this ineffectual, largely meaningless resolution to the state legislature to say, oh, please do what Maine and Hawaii said in opposing the war, which is fine, and also they supported a letter that was written in Congress to the president. But in terms of doing anything meaningful and real and local, like declaring this Santa Cruz a sanctuary for war resisters or supporting a delegation to go over there, and I am repeating things I've said before, but they're still pressing and true and important and show us what the city council is really composed of and what they're doing and what they're not doing. So what you really have is the city council suppressing the voices in the community in terms of not responding to them, not really allowing any kind of, facilitating any kind of process where the community could make resolutions. I guess what that means is what it's always meant, that we have to evolve our own alternate institutions and our own alternate forums and present our own resolutions as a people's assembly and recognize that the city council is a dead letter. It is a closed process that does not allow for any kind of meaningful input by the community. And this is more and more clearly the case and seen by even members of commissions. If they don't like what a commission presents to them, like the Citizens Police Review Board, they disband the commission and they call it a budget move. And they do so without any discussion with the group of the people involved, except to inform them sort of after the fact that it's going down the tubes. We're dismembering you. If they don't like what a commission proposes, they ignore it. The downtown commission came up with, after many hours, clear guidelines on how to proceed around the downtown ordinance proposals. Instead, the city council just whipped something up out of thin air, or actually out of Ed Porter's I'm the hall monitor of Santa Cruz mentality, and the Matthews, Rotkin, let's please the merchants at all costs and trust our local police force, just give them a bigger blank check to arrest anybody who's sitting, you know, who's sitting at a political table after dark, or in a group of two, if they're near a donation sign, a little can with a donation sign on it. They don't want to do that, but you see, their main objective is to make sure that poor people don't have a right to sit quietly with a sign downtown. And they don't. That's a crime in Santa Cruz now. Everywhere in the city, if you sit down with a sign on the sidewalk that says spare change anywhere, that is a crime. Can't do it. There's 14-foot bar from standing with a sign all over the city in terms of if you're peacefully asking for spare change with a sign, but you cannot sit anywhere. You can't even stand in a group of two, and you can't sit or stand after dark. It is all complete criminalization of poor people. In order to make it work, they have to criminalize musicians and they have to criminalize political activists too. Though musicians have gotten a certain exemption, and they've created this crazy move-along law, which you may see challenged today down in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz or in front of the Cinema 9 Theater, where Downtown for All and the group to do some vigiling, to do a vigil. It's a 24-hour vigil against two wars, will be there today trying to round up people to support that vigil. And this, if the police enforce the law that has been passed by the city council, it is that you cannot be in one place for more than 1 hour with a so-called display device, which is a political table. You have to move along. You have to move at least 100 feet. You can't come back for 24 hours. That's fascism, folks. Fascism where you're using laws to criminalize poor people. Fascism where you're giving unbridled discretion to the police, who are essentially carrying out a merchant agenda. Corporate fascism, yes. It's not the same color and the same language, and perhaps not the same intensity. Well, not the same intensity as you have in Nazi Germany or fascist Italy or Pinochet's Chile or modern-day Turkey, which masquerades as democracy, but ask any Kurd in the country and he'll tell you what's really going on there. But it is a fascist mentality that the city council is allowing and is backing. And it is a kind of an arrogance there. You may remember that I mentioned how Scott Kennedy, he was the target of a subpoena by the man you heard earlier speaking in the studio, Yon Golder. Yon wanted Scott to come and testify at his trial, his attempt to avoid an injunction, this absurd punishment injunction by Dick Wilson for his inquiries about city matters, which Wilson found so offensive. And he had Jim Costner and myself, he asked me actually to deliver this subpoena to Kennedy, and I, instead of walking up during the council meeting and just flopping it down in front of Scott, which is what I should have done, and which I, what I will do in the future if that happens, I believe that city council members should not be protected from legal process, and the city clerk and the city attorney have a responsibility to do that. Both Leslie Cook and city attorney John Barisone refused to accept service of this, and they also protected Scott, as did Sergeant Baker, in having him rush out the back. You know, I actually don't know if it would have been so important that Scott came to court, but to give you an example of how arrogant he is, how he feels that the law doesn't apply to him. He's a city council member. And he then sent this email to Becky Johnson. Scott Kennedy sent the following email. Actually, I have an email he sent to me. He sent an email to Becky Johnson that said something like, "Gosh, I'm really sorry you couldn't make it to the last city council meeting. I know Robert Norris and Jim Costner sat in the back and were very polite and listened to my entire speech. I wish you had been there, too." And, of course, what he meant was, you know, so there, you know, I got away without getting a subpoena. And, yeah, he did. What he wrote me, however, was he wrote me, "Robert, I had heard that you were really peeved after the last council meeting, cursing and slamming doors, unsuccessfully pushing papers at people, bustling about and pouting. Sounds as though you created quite a scene. Still, I didn't realize you are still in such a huff." Referring, of course, a pun by Scott about huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And I sent this out to let people know Scott's reaction to how he's spending his time. And I wrote this. "I didn't hear Scott Kennedy's speech at the Martin Luther King convocation, but I find myself remembering how he hosted a Gandhi memorial when he was mayor in 1994, the same year he was banning peaceful panhandling all over Santa Cruz from much of the sidewalk." And again, Scott Kennedy voted this year to make it completely illegal to sit down with a sign anywhere asking for money. Completely illegal. That's that. He voted for that. "I don't think Gandhi would have supported this banner of beggars. Many of us feel Kennedy has surrendered his principles long since and is now just another politician, significantly more conservative than he was when he got in 1990. Worse, he isn't candid about this, the same way he ducked Yon Golder's subpoena on Tuesday night. He has ducked the homeless issue year after year, refusing to acknowledge or address the sleeping ban, except at large rallies where he used to sidle up to activists and confide that he opposed the entire camping ordinance. Kennedy also fails to keep his commitments and won't debate his opponents on an even playing field. He failed to show up at Free Radio Santa Cruz for a debate with me on 5 separate occasions. Whatever my disagreements with Rotkin, I will allow that at least Rotkin is not afraid of a debate, and also, to some extent, meets his commitments at radio stations. And as both that their reporters know the Sentinel and the Mercury News have never gotten high marks for their accuracy, relevance, or understanding of issues at City Council. It seemed to me, however, that on this occasion, February 26th, Sentinel, and February 27th, Mercury News, they paid more attention to the issues at City Council around the war in Iraq than the Council did. City Council, as I noted at length, absolutely ignored every criticism of FAR that was made, as well as all independent proposals, war resistor sanctuary, Bush impeachment, delegation to Iraq. Dan White and Ken McLaughlin at least mentioned some of these criticisms. The reason FAR is more relevant than Clinton, and this is, again, this is kind of a half of a response to Robert Nahas' letter, is because he is our local representative in a safe seat. He is supposed to be our representative, and he is not representing us. He certainly isn't representing the constituency that elected the Santa Cruz City Council of Progressives, and yet we hear not a peep out of any of those progressives. As for his being censored, I think it was a question of giving a platform to a politician who has refused to answer key questions from his constituents. To attack a powerful politician who, by his silence, is supporting the use of uranium-depleted weapons, the imposition of child-killing Iraqi sanctions, weekly bombing raids over Iraq, the war in Colombia, and by his vote, the huge military budget, is not fascist, it is anti-fascist. To be angry at injustice, hypocrisy, and collusive silence is a healthy democratic response to elitists in power who ignore their constituents. FAR has plenty of opportunity to call his own forum whenever he wants. Riley's Town Hall Forum was really a FAR forum. I sympathize with your exasperation of the aforementioned reporters. City Council gets away with its backroom meetings, police blank checks, and destruction of potentially meaningful police oversight because reporters aren't really interested. The Sentinel's Dan White and the Mercury News' Ken McLaughlin aren't interested in City Council abuses. When Rodkin apparently told McLaughlin that I bore responsibility for the Citizens Police Review Board demise because, quote, I filed the overwhelming majority of frivolous complaints, I was advised to sue because the recent court rulings have held that frivolous complaints are false complaints and a crime per se. Hence, it is libelous for McLaughlin to state that I filed frivolous complaints. I actually filed a grand total of 13 complaints over the last 8 years with the Citizens Police Review Board out of hundreds filed, some of which were actually sustained, none of which, by Chair Half Moon's own testimony, were frivolous, even in the lighter sense of the word. And interesting dialogue. You can if you're interested in the dialogue, you should drop me an email at rnorris@hotmail.com, and I'll pass it on to you. It's interesting. The response of Scott Kennedy, he was also emailed this stuff, and he was asked a series of questions about his failure to, for example, hold hearings on the downtown ordinances. He's supposed to be chairing a subcommittee, an ad hoc subcommittee with Councilmember Premack, which would allow political tablers to have donation cans on their table. Right now it's illegal, and he's failed to do this, and he was simply asked why he failed to do this and when his next hearings were, and his response was, I don't answer emails from you, Robert. So maybe somebody else should send him an email and ask him that question. The email that he failed to respond to was, thanks for taking time out from your busy schedule to put together this meaningful dialogue with me. It nicely complements the energy you put into important issues like a meaningful local response to the war, while tactfully sparing safe seat Sam Farr any embarrassment, ignoring expanded shelter space for the poor, tactfully sparing Smiley Riley, and restoring civil rights here in Santa Cruz, sparing yourself. We appreciate your modesty and busy schedule require you to swiftly duck out of council meetings, discreetly ahead of adoring crowds and inattentive process servers. But your fans clamor for further gripping accounts of your exciting adventures in international peace and justice in our nation's capital when you're not burning up the airwaves helping the homeless overseas. Don't deny your public. Indeed, some of us are waiting for your month overdue report on exemption zones for political activists. You know, those who dare to keep their tables set up longer than the hour allowed in your January move along after an hour or face $162 fine law. It did go into force February 13th, after all. Weren't you and Councilmember Mark Premack due to hold hearings on this subject to allow some public input? or to come up with specifics that would allow us grumpy politicos to table without fear of an unseemly ticket or arrest? Weren't you going to map out where you and other council members are going to allow us to petition and assemble with a political table? Now that you have wisely eliminated 80% of the Pacific Avenue sidewalk and virtually 100% of other business district sidewalks for that purpose, we need to know. Traditionalists and sentimentals bemoan the loss of the public sidewalk in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, New Leaf Market, Shoppers Corner, and other places, but such outdated notions have to change with changing times. Cluttering up our beautiful downtown with political controversy, which can provide protective cover for criminal panhandlers and business-destroying sidewalk sitters, is not something any rational community can tolerate, as you, of course, have long said. Downtown Commission member Bob Guzley said that your committee didn't seek its advice and assistance. It met this last Thursday. That's the Downtown Commission. Strange, since it studied this issue rather intensively and debated it rather extensively over the course of 4 2-hour hearings last August. It decided exemption zones were unsuitable for both businesses and tablers, since they would crowd people into a few areas and burden the adjacent businesses. But as we like to say in Santa Cruz, City Council knows best. As I recall, you were a strong supporter of our new slimmed-down 2003 version of the First Amendment, Sidewalk Edition. You ignored the Downtown Commission's report, passed the Matthews-Rotkin move-along and forbidden zones laws, encouraged us to trust our local police department, and yes, promised speedy action on exemption zones. Alas, our and your February 13th deadline has come and gone, and still no word from you, other than the sound of City Council doors closing as you and Sergeant Backdoor Baker nimbly disappear into the night, 3 steps ahead of the process server. True, you did quite a figure as you grabbed your briefcase with one hand and dived for the door with the other. Speedy Scott is what one startled admirer called you. Please help us to stop huffing, cursing, slamming doors, bustling, and pouting, as you so perceptibly observed, by pausing, however briefly, to address us on these issues. Act now before police selective enforcement of troublesome tablers requires some grumblers to go directly to the courts. You can be proud of giving Santa Cruz the unique status of being the only city in the U.S. that requires a person registering voters at a small political table to move along every hour or face possible arrest. A law, further, which City Council allows police to use or ignore as they wish. After all, we must admit, they are the experts. It is certainly refreshing to find at least one City Council that isn't afraid of being called a police state. We know how your deep concern for budget issues forced you with a heavy heart to eliminate the Citizens Police Review Board. Act now to defend the budget and avoid undue enrichment of our city attorney. Spare the city and school districts that you love so dearly further fiscal embarrassment by stepping in rather than ducking out to address these issues. No need to be shy. Hold a public committee meeting for once. Let us in on those whispered conversations in the corridors. We'll be all the better for it. And don't be afraid to show up in court. Swearing under penalty of perjury is a small matter for a man of truth and justice, such as yourself. And his response to that was, I don't answer your emails. So, well, perhaps what we should do is hear from Sergeant Baker directly. And I mentioned earlier in the show that I was going to be playing from you a kind of a reprise of last January's arrest, where Sergeant Baker arrested me for having one of those political tables that Scott Kennedy's law now essentially makes it much more difficult to place legally on the sidewalk. And this was in front of Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe when it was around, now the Cafe Campesino, and in front of New Leaf Market. And the table was placed in an area which is now fenced in, but then was open. And I was encouraging people to boycott Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe because they were about to construct this fence and fence off about two-thirds of the sidewalk and remove the seating space in order to get rid of young kids that they didn't like there, which was sort of the first shot in a campaign which culminated in worse and worse laws and essentially a bigger and bigger blank check to the police department. And it's what the vigil against two wars, which is going to be gathering participants later today downtown, is interested in stopping. Anyway, you hear, what you'll first hear is Baker coming over to arrest me, and he also went after a woman named Zoe Einbinder, and I was eventually taken away in handcuffs, and she was dragged down in a pain compliance hold. All charges after 8 months were dropped. Some phony charges were added and dropped. A phony charge of being on a forbidden zone, which I wasn't. And you get to hear the kind of behavior that Sergeant Baker can do without any kind of accountability from Police Chief Steve Belcher. The main point to make here is he was making a citizen's arrest. Citizen Matisse Selman, the owner of Sushi Now, was asking Baker to have me arrested for blocking the sidewalk when I wasn't blocking the sidewalk, and when it was actually I was exempt from the law that they were trying to get me under because I was at a political table. There's another blocking the sidewalk law that can be used if you intentionally refuse to move. But Baker had never even warned me that he thought I was blocking the sidewalk. It was clear, straight harassment. And I play it again to give you an example of what goes on in Santa Cruz. And this time, again, this goes to federal court. It's in federal court now. We should be having it. It's probably going to be briefed in the next few months. And there'll be a press conference on it in the next couple of weeks. But the fact that the grand jury in San Francisco has actually indicted on felony obstruction of justice charges the police chief, his main man, and his two of his cronies underneath is truly heartening. And I think should give pause to Belcher and Wilson here. And I'll just play a little of that now.
Sure.
Let me turn mine on so you can turn yours on. Yeah. I need to see your identification.
What's the problem?
I'm issuing a citation for blocking the sidewalk. Just a little bit ago, you had people having to walk around you because of the table you're keeping. Okay? You have your identification, Mr.
Oh, okay. So did you ask the people to move the table, Sergeant Baker?
It's not my responsibility to ask
them. Intentionally blocking the sidewalk is the code section. You know that. You have to give us an opportunity to move.
Mr. Norris?
Are you giving us an opportunity to move the table?
May I see your identification?
I take it you're not. Sure. Of course you can. So we have some witnesses to the latest citation.
Yes, we do.
Cited for a political table downtown, folks. Your police dollars at work. I'm getting a ticket, man.
You remember last time that...
blocking the sidewalk.
Mr. Norris, last time I had contact with you under a citation situation and you were more worried about the people around you. If I have to, we can...
Supposedly we're in a...
transport you out of here, so...
I have my ID, Sergeant Baker. I'm here
the
with
military
you.
Presence here is...
Excuse me. Thank you. So, do we want to cite here, or do we want to go to the station?
I'm ready to be cited.
Okay.
If you choose to arrest me, Howard, there's nothing I can do, Sergeant Baker. You have the gun and the badge.
I wasn't having any trouble walking by at all.
Your name is?
Andrew Johnson.
Your name is?
Adia Hines.
And, all right. And were you a witness to the... Have you been blocking... Actually, I'm giving it, being given a ticket, but I wasn't even here when this happened, right?
Right. I was actually sitting...
It's all being videotaped. You were here.
Oh, okay. I wasn't...
Again, how we blocking the sidewalk? Go ahead, explain to us. Go ahead.
The situation where I'm trying to direct my attention on this, okay? If you want, we can...
Okay, the officer wishes to write his ticket. Let him write his ticket. Well, let's let the public know... What's going on? That's what you write your ticket.
Do you have identification, ma'am?
Those have been arrested.
Okay, can I see it, please? Because you also were involved at the table.
Do we have anyone who wants to volunteer to sit at this table, by the way, and get a ticket for blocking the sidewalk?
The sidewalk now was.
It hasn't been moved. The table has been in the same position.
Transport away from the scene. We can do that because
ticket for blocking the sidewalk.
Hey, everybody!
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to take a ticket. Let's go for it.
Well, we keep getting our attention directed away from...